the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Zoom and not record it. It's not a good look. What is a good look is Jay Berg Tenenbaum. We're going to ask him where he got that nickname from. We're going to ask him all things real estate, Brains. Okay, I'm so excited to have him here because you know what? Today is game day and it's game on. So many people want to play in the real estate world. They have no idea. Maybe they have had a lot of bad credit and a lot of debt. Jay's going to talk us through that. He is doing some philanthropic work that really touched my heart. Not only is he a real estate mogul, but he is teaching people how to flip to ownership. Okay, so we're going to talk to him a little bit about that. The price of real estate is just really crazy. There's so many homeless people out here. But what he's doing is he's really using his skill and expertise, not only in debt restoration, but also in real estate to help people become homeowners. So I'm excited to talk to him about that. He is a sports enthusiast. I'm going to talk to him about that. And he's got 6 kids. Who does that? Jay Tenenbaum, welcome to The Edge, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me, April.
I'm excited about this. I've been waiting for this because I got some good questions for you. You know, I'm a bit of an investor. I'm a risk taker. We've talked about it offline. So the do's and don'ts. You know, so many people see these infomercials at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Come to this seminar and you could be able to flip properties in South Dakota and make $1 million. It's a lie.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's become from the infomercials, and we're kind of dating ourselves a little bit because now it's just everything is just online, but it's really the same kind of concept. Come join me for an hour or two. This free, you know, and then, so we could spend 3 days with me for $197 or $1,997. And then, you know, and the misnomers, you think you can become a real estate investor in 3 days. No, you can't. But they want to sell you for the $20,000, the $50,000, the $80,000 package. You could truly be a real estate investor if you come join us for some more. The problem with that is it's one, especially if you end up with those ballroom kind of places, it becomes 1-800-ballroom, see you bye. This is an 800 number, and you have no support, you have no education, and you know. And I've been there, done that, just like everybody else. But that's not how we do it now.
Well, you know what else is interesting is that, okay, not only that, but all of these television shows, flip a house, you know, you go in, people don't realize what you're getting on the auction block. I was just, after me and you talk, I went perusing the neighborhood. I want to make a little investment. And I looked at the property. Then I took Mr. Magnificent, old eagle eye. And let me tell you, he found so many things wrong with the property. He said, girl, you better start from scratch. From, you know, cracks in the slab to where the new windows are put in and the ceiling is breaking away from it, where there's a piece of the property that's not even accessible, but it's a part of your land. There's so many things that people don't understand. So let's rewind. Let's go back a little bit to your expertise in debt restoration and debt recovery, because you were a debt collector for a while.
I was had a debt collection law practice in California for 20 years, yes.
Yikes, in California, you was busy.
Yes, I was.
All right, so tell us a little bit about that.
So started a practice 1990 through 2008. Loved the practice of law. I loved what I did. What did me in was managing 45 hangnail employees. Just we got to a point where I was doing more babysitting than practicing law, and I just had enough. So at that point in time, we closed the practice in 2008, and I started kind of falling into investing. It started out from there to buying judgment liens in California and executing on real property, to the opportunity to start investing in distressed mortgage notes in 2013. So basically, I characterize it as I've been in debt all my life, just not personally.
Well, that's really smart because so many people are in debt and you can't help it. Well, you can help it because people overextend themselves. You know, you got a $60,000 car and don't have an apartment. I just came from walking down the street and saw two or three people literally folding up their blankets and stuff where they had slept in their car. Mm-hmm. So you've taken all your skill and expertise, and you see that the plight of the homeless. You're never going to get an apartment or a rental property for $800 a month here in California ever again. And they talk about affordable housing. What does this look like? You know, you're a person and you've had some debt challenges and you've gotten yourself together. What does it look like to get back in the game of trying to purchase a property and be a homeowner?
Opportunity. Because did you realize that, would you guess what the average credit score is of American people right now?
Yeah, I'll say about 600.
Try 740.
Really?
Yeah. But you ask yourself, but lending is still tight. The reason is because the lenders haven't really recovered out of 2008 for the most part, to where even though the credit score is risen for most people, the lack of a W-2 job, a lender doesn't want to touch you. So the right people, what we do, our model, our mantra is creating affordable housing. How's that? Look, rental demand will never change. Good times, bad times, everybody needs a place to be, right? So rental rates typically never go down. They just stabilize or continue to go up, and that's fine. But what we do is we buy to rent. We buy either rentals that are already rented or we buy, rehab them, and rent them. And then approach our tenants down the road saying, hey, with my experience in buying distressed mortgage notes, it's let us be your bank. So basically saying, if you're renting a price for $800 a month, now let's turn that into your principal, interest, tax, and insurance payment for $800 a month. And now you got home ownership. Okay. We're the bank. So the qualification is really all about making sure that your debt ratios comply with federal regulations, and that's it. We don't care about your credit score. We don't care about your history. We just want to make sure that you got afford the house.
Yeah, but Jay, I keep it real with my brains here on the edge. What's the win for you? How you making cheese?
Okay, so I'm investing anyway. I own that property, right? So do I want to be 100% landlord getting those calls at 3 o'clock in the morning when the toilet broke? Or do I want to be the bank and just and where the maintenance and all that is up to the occupant in the house? So now all I am is collecting a check every month. The win-win is cash flow for me. It's building wealth. It's building legacy.
Okay, that sounds interesting. But where is that building? It's not California or Arizona.
America in the Midwest is definitely, in the Midwest and the South, is still very much on sale.
Okay.
And that's where we buy. I moved here to Arizona 3 years ago from California. Since I started my investing career in 2013, I've never bought anything in California. I've never bought anything in Arizona, and probably won't for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but, you know, how do you manage a property somewhere else? You know, you buy property, you don't have an eagle eye there. You get a management company. How do people trust that? Because that's risky.
You build, yes. So if you've got the mindset of, I got to see it, touch, and feel it, what we do is not for you. But then again, if you want to overpay for stuff or look, trying to find a needle in a haystack with overpriced properties in California, Arizona, et cetera, be my guest. But what we do is we build strong teams in those markets. Now, here's the thing. I have invested in probably 27, 28 different states across the country. Several years ago, we sat down and said, you know, that's all fine and good, because if I'm getting a check from Podunk, Minnesota, so what, right? Just the green is still as good as money, like Yogi Berra said. Hey, still the same as money. But we sat down and said, look, are we really an expert in certain markets? The answer is no. So we've culled it back down, and while the Midwest and South is still very much on sale, as I said, we are specifically only in about 4 or 5 markets. Having culled down, becoming expert in those markets, we're able to build strong teams. Your strong team consists of your contractors, your realtors, your property managers, or one of them is the lead who then refers you to the rest. And yeah, you'll kiss a few frogs getting there, but you build strong teams, you manage the strong teams. The day in the life of me, I'm a glorified traffic controller.
Okay, and so when someone works with you, they have access to your team.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, well, that sounds good. That's good. So you're an author. Tell us what you've written in your books. Have you written some of your secrets in a book?
The book is in progress, yes, and I have, and those secrets are in a rough draft form. The book should be put out. Maybe this year. It's not exactly high on my priority list, but there's a rough draft of it in floating around right now.
So again, when people want to get into the game, you say their average credit score is about 740. They need a lot of, well, they need, you said W-2s. So they're really looking for W-2 employees. So people like me that are entrepreneurs, we're more of a risk because our income fluctuates, correct?
But we're talking, but that's talking about traditional financing. What to get in the game, okay? The first, there's two steps to get in the game. And remember, while a debt collection attorney allowed me the opportunity to buy mortgage notes and be able to talk to a borrower and get them a loan, work loan modifications with them, that just happens to be a skill or expertise that I have, right? But I don't have the analytical desire. I have the skill. I don't have the desire to sit in front of a computer and break down a spreadsheet and see what properties I want to buy. Those who have that skill, I envy you, right? But the whole point of it is the two steps, really the basic two steps to get involved is get educated in real estate investing somewhere to the right, in the right places. And the more important, the second component is partner in the beginning, partner up with others who already have already figured it out. I've stubbed my toe almost 350 deals later, and I've stubbed my toe, ripped off the Band-Aid, and moved on. And I know what works, right? I'm not a guru. You're not going to see me on TV at 3:30 in the morning saying, I've already figured out the secret sauce. No, I've washed and repeated. I've washed, rinsed, and repeated enough that I can show you how we do it. But partnering with us, it's, you know, we teach anybody. There's pretty much nothing in this business that's secret sauce, right? I'm an open book. I teach anybody what we do.
You know, and thank you for that, because there's a lot of money out there. They print that stuff every day, and people are so tight with their information that it is, you know, it's astounding. You can't make all the money in the world, brains. Okay. You have to share your information. Okay. So Jay, tell me how you are as a boss. Okay. The people that work for you, why are they excited about working for you? What is your secret sauce?
Good question. When I had my law practice, I was easy to work for, maybe difficult to work with sometimes because I demanded certain things, but I was very, very kind to our employees, right? We gave them, you know, 4-day work weeks around Christmas, on the holidays, whatever the thing fell or whatever. As a boss, just me and my partner, I mean, we've outsourced everything that we do. So really, it's a matter of management. So I'm a good manager of my teams because you set expectation. And you set realistic expectation and you set parameters. I'm not going to be the over-intrusive, especially, for example, if I am, let's say I'm foreclosing on a property, right? Well, from one attorney to my foreclosure attorneys, I'm not the pain in the ass client. I know what their job is. I know what they're supposed to be doing. We set expectations. I'm not calling them every 5 minutes. What's the status of my file? I'm calling them within realistic parameters of what I expect and what they expect to perform good service. What benchmark should be met. Same thing with my property managers, contracts, etc. You tell me. Same thing with my borrowers, right? When I'm speaking to a borrower doing a loan mod, I have three simple rules. Three simple rules are: communication is number one. If I call you, you're going to call me back. Rule number two: if you make a commitment to me, honor your commitments.
Right.
We're not going to have a conversation where I'm going to demand anything from you. You're going to make a commitment to me that's going to be voluntary on your part. Mm-hmm. But once you make that commitment, I'm going to hold you to it. And rule number three, whatever that commitment turns into performance, you better perform. And I treat my teams the same way. If they're making the commitments, they're going to get this done by this time frame. That's on them. They've made that commitment to me, and I expect them to honor it.
Okay. Well, that's good. So clear expectations, and you laid it out there. And if you can't meet expectations, hit the road.
Exactly.
Okay.
I've kissed a few frogs building my teams over the course. Yes.
My mother uses that too. You know, kissing some frogs. Have you found some princesses in that?
Oh, we found some gems, some pure gems in some of our areas. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Give my brains a couple do's and don'ts. When you're looking for a property, you know, looking to flip a property, looking to be a homeowner, give me a couple do's and don'ts.
Well, the primary do's, I said already, get either partner up with somebody or get sufficiently educated. And what I mean by education is the 1-800 ballroom is not going to cut it because you don't have the support. Find your local groups to get involved in, right? When you have a problem, you have an issue, it's not just a phone call away. It's you can actually go meet with them if you have to, right? But also partner up with others who are doing it. Vet your partners out. Make sure that they really know what they're doing.
Right.
That's the biggest do's and don'ts. The other don't is don't overpay for anything. You don't have to do a deal just because you want to do a deal. One other thing that I want to mention is you don't, you know, back in the day it was, you know, you could buy property without any money or any or credit. That's not true. The money and credit usually doesn't have to be yours. I've done, like I said, almost 350 deals. I've probably spent in all my acquisitions $10-12 million, and the only real money I've ever put into my deals is about the first $60,000, one of the first three deals I ever did. I've raised it from, when I'm buying property, I can go to a bank for some money. When I was buying distressed mortgage notes, there's no institutional financing. So I raised it privately all these years. And I teach people how to raise capital. What the biggest do and don't in raising capital is, let your documentation about what the deal looks like speak for itself. The more you talk and vomit your deal, the worse off you are.
Yeah, I know, because you can talk yourself right out of a deal. Talk
absolutely. Lay it out in front of them and let them make a decision.
Exactly. And make a decision. So many people can't make a decision.
That's true.
And, you know, and it is something to be afraid. You know, it's a big responsibility. But if you are not in the game, you know, you can't do it. So speaking of games, let's talk about some games. You are an avid sports fan.
Absolutely.
Big day. So I'm going to do some things, a couple quick questions that probably no one's asked you in a while. We're going to ask all things Jay Bird Tenenbaum. Number one, how did you get the name Jay Bird?
That was just a high school nickname that never has left.
Well, it's really nice. It's really nice because you really do fly away. Now, let me ask you another question. If you were a professional athlete, what sport would it be?
If I was a professional athlete, either a baseball player or a professional skier, racer.
Really?
And I've done both when I was in college, but not professionally.
Okay, so if you woke up in the morning and you were a professional baseball player, who would that be?
Oh, a person? Derek Jeter, probably. Maybe somebody from that grew up watching, you know, which really be dating myself, when, you know, players that played probably in the 60s, 70s, probably somebody like that.
Okay. So tell me, what is your favorite food? What do you really love to eat?
Steak or chicken?
Steak or chicken?
It doesn't really matter how – well, a steak has to be medium rare, because if you cook a steak leather – so you can steak medium, well, you're eating leather. What's the point of that? Not that it has to be mooing still, but medium rare is awesome. Chicken, I, you know what? As long as it's – yeah, it doesn't even matter how it's cooked, as long as it's cooked.
You're a very giving and philanthropic man, father of six. We had the tragic call of quick death of Kobe Bryant. If you knew today was your last day – what would you say to the world, your employees, or your children?
Oh, my God. I would say to my family that I love you, and remember me for who I was. Don't forget me, but move on in life. To anybody else, I hope that I was a contributing factor and touched your life in any way, shape, form, or possible.
That's good.
That would be
brings you joy. Yeah.
I actually met Kobe once, very, very, yeah, very briefly. I was in a meeting with a venture capitalist in the Islands Hotel in Newport Beach, and Kobe was working out at the gym there, and he was on his way to the bathroom, and the venture capitalist that I was meeting with thought either it was the biggest fan or thought he knew Kobe or was trying to impress me, one of the above, and he jumps out of his seat and rushes over to Kobe, who's mainly minding his own business, walking to the bathroom, and he's like, you know, Kobe, Kobe, Kobe. The guy, Kobe's looking at him like, who is this guy? But Kobe was, you know, professional and he shook my hand. Pleasure to meet you. But I like, hey, I didn't have to want to strike up a conversation with him. I knew he was going to the bathroom. Hey, go on, dude. You know, it's your time.
And I met him a couple times because they have suites. I'm originally from Los Angeles, so they have the private suites at the Staples Center.
Sure.
So he was mingling through there with Snoop Dogg and the rest of them. Again, pretty reserved, but, you know, when you're at the top of your game, you're not just kind of cheesing with anybody. You're great, you're gracious and all that, but he kept it moving, and I honored that. I totally respect
that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So back to my question. What brings you the most joy in your life? What makes you happy?
Giving back. giving back to my students in my in the mastermind that I teach here locally in San Diego, in Arizona, giving back in just my time to help others. I've you know mentored real estate investors. I'm giving back to. I'm involved in two communities here in Phoenix, an entrepreneurial group and a real estate group, and giving back my time and energy to those building those communities is gives me tremendous joy. Other than my family,
what's your biggest regret?
Not doing it soon enough. I've only been here 3 years.
You know, timing is everything. You know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
That's correct.
I'm a believer of that. So, you know, it's at its appropriate time. Well, your time has been so valuable, and I'm going to try to see how I can get in that mastermind because I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to take a chance. I'm ready to learn how to invest in somewhere outside of expensive San Diego, California, and just really kind of, you know, pour into other people because what you're doing is great. There's so many people out there, like I said, that are homeless, and it's ridiculous. Here in the United States, I don't get it. But there's a lot of things right now I don't get. That's a whole nother show. So anyway, Jay, please tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they want to work with you, they want to work with your team, get involved, your mastermind, be on the list for that book. How do they get in contact with Jay Tinnenbaum?
Sure. First and foremost, easiest way to get a hold of me is my cell phone number. And yes, I will answer it. The area code is 714. Even though I live here, I still haven't lost, will never lose my California number. 714-458-6317. That's 714-458-6317. Or email at jay@scottsdalerei.com.
I got some people there in Scottsdale actually that have, they work in debt restoration. So I'm going to tell them to get in contact with you because it's time for them to level up. And thank you so much for being right here with me on the edge. You are you're just loving. I really appreciate all things that you're doing and being so open and vulnerable and answering some of those questions.
I appreciate that, April. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, brains, level up. Get your little change straight. Get your credit right. And, try to buy a piece of property. Partner with somebody, you know. But again, do your due diligence. Don't just go out and think that you can do this willy-nilly because you'll mess around and have yourself in a pickle.
The Lone Ranger was a good TV show, but it's not going to work in real estate.
Absolutely. And you know what? You might end up kissing a frog. All right. Keep it swinging and keep in the game. Thank you so much, Jay. Come on back to the edge. I have a seat for you.
Very much so. Thank you so much.
All right, brains. I love you guys. I really do.